This thing called love is a commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. Well, good morning, everybody. It's Sunday morning, the 21st of January, and we're going to be meeting online this morning and hope to be back in person next week as we hope for warmer temperatures and better weather. The title of our message today is This Thing Called Love. We've all heard the expression that love makes the world go round, right? And sometimes when you look at the newspaper or you watch the news, you might say, well, if love makes the world go round, it's liable to stop spinning anytime soon because it doesn't seem like there's much love out there. There's less love, less decency, less concern in the world than it used to be. Love is a commodity that is growing scarce. Jesus told us it would happen in Matthew chapter 24. He told us that it would be the signs of the end of the times when love would grow cold. Listen to Matthew 24, verses 3 through 12. Jesus was speaking and he said, as he was there on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us, when will all this happen? And when will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Jesus goes on to say that nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning, he says, of birth pains. He says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, Jesus said, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Over the years, as lawlessness began to increase and sinfulness has increased, love has diminished. Love has grown cold. We've come to the point where we're a more skeptical society than we used to be. Most all of us have had some type of encounter with someone either on a street corner or on the side of the road, and we think for a minute, I ought to stop and help them. But because of some of the horror stories that we've heard about people that have had bad experiences, we don't know. And so we continue to go, we speed up and just keep on going sometimes. And that's because of the lawlessness and sinfulness that has developed and continued to increase in the world. Because of that, then we're more skeptical and we're more unwilling to show love to people that we see because we don't know whether they're scamming us or not. There was a young preacher driving across the country to a Bible conference to do a series of sermons at a Bible conference, and he was in the middle of the state of Mississippi, and his car broke down, and he hit the ditch and couldn't get out, and so he didn't know what to do. He got out and started walking down the road, and as it began to get dark, he saw a light up ahead, and so he began to walk toward this house, and he had ripped clothing and was muddy and all that, and he walked up to the door, knocked on the door. It was a president of a seminary here in the state. And the young man said, sir, I need some help. And the guy says, well, who are you? And he told him, he said, you don't look like a preacher, any preacher I've ever seen. He said, I'm going to give you a Bible test. If you could answer this Bible quiz, then I'll give you the help that you need. And he said, how many commandments are there, son? He said, sir, there are 11 commandments. And the seminary president said, aha, I knew you were an imposter. I knew you weren't the real thing. And then the young man recited John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And the seminary president just hung his head, and he looked back up and he said, come on in, son. You know your Bible better than I do. This thing called love is a commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Jesus said that it is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, as we talk about this morning, this thing called love, I want us to see three things in this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we read together. So let's read there, starting in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read the entire chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we seek to find out what your word has us to know about this thing called love this morning, Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak through me, hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want you to see about this thing called love this morning is the power of love. He says there in those first few verses, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If we have the tongues of men, then we can be the most eloquent speaker, or even the language of angels. Paul talked about the language of angels in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 when he was caught up into paradise and he heard the inexpressible things that man's not permitted to tell. Even if you speak with that language, he says if you have no love, you're just like a sounding gong, a brass cymbal that just makes noise. We went to the last MSU ball game that we have been to. And I'm a Mississippi State fan, Mississippi State graduate. I love the Bulldogs, but I do not love the Cowbell. I'll probably get some hate mail about that statement. But the last time we went to an MSU football game, we had not been to one since they made the Cowbell legal to bring into the stadium. And so we took the girls there, and you couldn't hear yourself think. Because anytime anything came up, everybody rang a bell. And it was just a resounding gong of brass bells all through the whole stadium. You couldn't enjoy the game. We couldn't wait to get out of there. And that's what it says there. We can have tongues of men or of angels, but if we have no love, we're just like that sounding brass gong, just noise. He also says if we have prophecy, we can be, if we have the gift of prophecy, and we can know all mysteries and all knowledge, and have faith that can move mountains. But if we don't have love, we're nothing. No love, no nothing. He says that we can give all that we have to the poor and surrender our bodies to the flames. Even giving ourselves up as a martyr, dying as a martyr. And even all those things, faith or dying as a martyr, if we don't have love, then we have nothing. We can both be the most eloquent speaker. We can be the most gifted Bible teacher or preacher. We can have tremendous faith, be the most generous person in the world, put hundreds of dollars in the offering plate, serve as a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or preacher. But if we don't love, then we're nothing. We can look like a hero to everyone around in the church or everyone around in the community for being such a fine, upstanding Christian person. We can look like a hero to them, but in God's eyes, if we don't have love, we're a zero. We're like having a hamburger without the meat, or just bread, nothing, no substance. We can be all these things and look so good to all those around us, but if we don't have love, we're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven." He says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" If we don't have love, we don't have God. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, because God is love." That's the power of love. But now let's look at the properties of love. I want you to take out a little piece of paper and a pen and just keep an imaginary scorecard on yourself as we go through some of these. He says there that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Those are some of the things that the properties of love. Patience. Love is patient. It's long-suffering. It's being able to bear up under provocation. Not getting easily irritated. Do you ever get aggravated at a slow-moving line of traffic? Somebody pulls over in front of you, pulls out in front of you and goes nowhere. They're just running 25 or 30 miles an hour and they won't get out of the way. How you doing there? Are you patient? What about being nice, being kind? The text, though, means more than that. It's having a merciful attitude towards somebody who's wronged us. How easy is that? What about not being envious, not being jealous? You ever been jealous? There are two kinds of jealousy: wanting what somebody else has or not wanting something, not wanting someone else to have something that you can't have. That's all the advertising industry today is about, is making us jealous, making us want things that others have. Trucks and tractors and boats and four-wheelers. It's all getting us to want that, to have that envy. How you doing? It says that love doesn't boast. There's no bragging in love. It says love is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Whew. That's a big one. If you're scoring yourself on these, how are you doing? How difficult is that for you to keep no record of wrongs? Think about what Jesus endured. And he said, "Father, forgive them." That's so hard for us to do when somebody wrongs us. The Bible says, though, love keeps no record of wrongs. And he says, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Now, to delight in evil means to do things that are wrong, to practice in sin. Things like gossip, dirty jokes, delighting in evil things. Finding joy in things that are not pleasing to God. How you doing there? Now that we all feel pretty rotten, what if you put your name in there in the word for love? If you put your name in there, how does it match up? where it says love is patient. You put your name in there. Does that describe you? Are you patient? Are you kind? Do you envy? Do you boast? Are you proud? Are you rude? Are you self-seeking? Are you easily angered? Do you keep a record of wrongs? Love is all these things. Those are the properties of love. And if we would be men and women of God, we should exhibit love. We should exhibit those properties of love. So we looked at the power of love. We've looked at the properties of love. Now the third thing I want us to look at, the permanence of love. Look at verse 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. That's a permanence of love. You and I can't do anything to make Jesus not love us. There's never been anything and never will be anything that God says or does that fails. And that includes His love. And the love that we can have through the Lord Jesus, to have Him to dwell within us and allow that Holy Spirit to change our hearts and minds. When the end comes, when the final end of this world comes, there won't be any need for prophecies. There won't be any more need for faith or knowledge, because we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. If we're in Him, if we're one of His children, one of God's children, we're going to be in His presence. There won't be any need for prophecy or faith at that point. Our faith will be sight. If we've been found faithful, we won't need any of those anymore. And we'll be in the presence of Him permanently, eternally, enjoying that permanence of His love. We've looked at the power of love and the properties of love and the permanence of love. So what's love got to do with it? What's this little thing called love? It's a big deal. As we read earlier, John 13 and verse 34 and following, Jesus told His disciples about a new commandment. He says, "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're My disciples, if you love one another." How you doing when it comes to love? Do you exhibit the qualities that Jesus told us about, that Jesus commands us to have? If you put your name in that chapter 13, everywhere the word love shows up, how do you match up? It's my prayer that we'll all match, as we grow in Christ, we'll match this more and more perfectly. We can ask Jesus to help us do that. None of us are perfect. I look at this list and I put my name in those sentences there in chapter 13, and I come up very, very short in some places. But the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. And we need to remember that. We need to ask Him to change us, make us more like His Son, help us to exhibit the properties that are found as He lists them here in 1 Corinthians 13, the properties of love. Let's do that as we pray together. Lord, we're grateful for Your love. We're grateful that You, by Your love, gave us Your Son, who died on that cross to save us from our sins. It was love that kept Him there. And Father, help us to, as we grow, to be more like Him, to reflect His image more and more. Help the love to show through. Father, as we look around this world and the love of many grows cold, Father, we ask that the Christians, the church, will rise up and make a positive difference in the world for Your kingdom. Give us the strength to do that, Lord. Give us the love to do that. It's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, it's been good to be with you online today, and we hope to be back in person next week. I hope you have a great week.